Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
I want you to take a listen to this clip. Have a listen, guys.
You have sabotaged my daughter and the rest of the kids.
She's a little snake.
How dare you call my daughter a sneak?
Snake.
She's
snake.
Not a sneak.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because I think you're ridiculous.
Go. Get out of here. Go sit up the stairs with your mother.
I don't know what to do.
Do not treat my child like that.
You begged me to get your kid back.
Do not.
I want this kid with me. I don't want her with you. Sleeping with some guy you're not even married to. No.
I'm about this far from pulling the duet.
No, she needs to do the duet to prove to you that she's capable of dancing and dancing well through pain.
I know, but your mouth is ugly, woman.
You are a monstrosity of evil.
Oh, that was intense. If you are a fan of Dance Moms, you will recognise that voice. She's a legend. She is dance instructor Abby Lee Miller. She was the star for 8 seasons. She's coming to Dublin and she's on the line. Good morning, Abby. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm not too bad. So listen to me. It's 15 years since you were last in Ireland. Is that right?
15 years?
Crazy. Apparently so. That's what my notes are telling me. Are you excited to be here?
It's not 15 years because we just had the 10th anniversary of the show.
Okay.
So I wasn't there teaching 5 years before that. Tell your people to get their stuff together.
Anita, get your together. 10 years. There we go. Listen to me. Lots has happened in that time. Lots has happened. Can we start with the success of Dance Moms? Because for those who have never seen it, tell people, what's it all about, really?
Really, it's about me just trying to do my job and create incredible, working, employable dancers. Like many, many other dancers that I've created that you don't know, you know, as a household name. And their mothers interrupting my creativity, interrupting my, you know, vocation, what I do for a living. And they're rude and disrespectful and uneducated and nobody's. So
is that the biggest problem you would face in a career like that is stage moms?
Yeah. Well, yes. And, you know, you get those kids that are naturally so gifted. They have these beautiful facilities, gorgeous dancers' bodies, and they don't have the passion and the drive. And then you get other kids who truly love the craft and love to dance, and maybe, you know, it doesn't come so easy to them. So
your method of teaching is, I mean, it's tough love. As we heard there, you really don't mince your words, even when talking to kids. Is that right?
It's tough love on television. However, I've been teaching kids all over the world on Zoom since this, you know, our horrible pandemic and the quarantine and all that. And every one of their moms will tell you that their child has had nothing but a wonderful experience.
Okay.
And it's amazing what we can do. You know, the whole world speaks different languages and I say grand plié in second and everybody does it. It's been rewarding. It's kind of renewed my faith in the art of dance and teaching. And no moms are on the Zoom.
Yay! Those moms, my God. But I mean, so from the TV show, I mean, it's quite intense. But can you understand why some parents or viewers get upset?
Yes. And I've been made out to be the villain. I've been made out to be this dance monster. And that's not really the way it is, but...
Okay.
Let me tell you, you know, a child, right? You tell them to clean their room. The nice, the first time you say, honey, pick up your room, come on. And then maybe the 10th time, you're irritated. Well, the 30th time, you want them to eat the clothes that are on the floor, right?
So
that's what you see on television.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that I'm not a tough teacher. I'm a tough teacher, but I'm a good teacher. I've had kids in 33 different Broadway shows. I have 2 students in Steven Spielberg's upcoming film, West Side Story. 2 kids from my studio in Pittsburgh. So I'm doing something right. Yes. But when it's blown all out of proportion and somebody has to be, you know, that character on the show, that's me.
Were you ready for that kind of fame? I mean, you have a dance background, of course, but I mean, this is global fame. This is incredible.
Yes. I think one of my students who was working with Radio City Rockettes said it well. She said, Abby is doing what she trained all of us to do, you know, with the interviews and guest hosting The View and television and just every opportunity that came my way. It's like I had trained kids for 35 years what to do and how to act and what to say. And suddenly I was the one doing it. I was the one in the spotlight when I was always behind the scenes.
Absolutely. I mean, you have a really, really interesting life. I mean, quite publicly, you were jailed in 2016 when you pled guilty to felony bankruptcy.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second, because it must have been a really dark time in your life.
Well, it was a dark time because the moms that had been there from the original get-go and those children that had been in my studio for years before a TV show, you know, they had to distance themselves from me when I was indicted. In the meantime, you know, some got immunity, let's just say that. And I was in court and the prosecutor said, his closing statement was, is she a dance con or a dance mom? Can you believe that?
What was prison like? Can I ask you, what was prison like?
Well, I refer to it as my staycation. I shot a documentary all about it that you'll see coming out very soon, actually. And it talks all about it. You know, I was with some women who were so well-educated and so kind and so caring and just wonderful. And a lot of them were sentenced to a year and they fought. They fought our government and said, I'm not guilty. I did nothing wrong, blah, blah, blah. And they got 7 years, 8 years. It's nuts. Mm. It's absolutely nuts. And then there's a lot of young girls in there who's, you know, then their children get put into the system.
Yeah.
And we're not only paying for a roof over their head and three meals a day, now we're going to pay for their kids too, our taxes. It's just a very bad system that needs changed.
When you were in there, did you, you're speaking very highly of a lot of the women in there. Did you make good friends? Did you make connections?
I wouldn't call them connections. I made wonderful friends that will be with me forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have seen them since they've been out. We've gotten together and, you know, I would trust those women with my life. Yes.
Well, that's something positive coming out of something really notoriously quite negative. What was the first thing you did when you got out of prison?
I had a manicure and a pedicure.
Good on you.
Well, they give you go to a halfway house and they give you a hygiene pass.
Right.
So you could go get your hair cut. You could go, you know, get waxed. You could do whatever had to do with hygiene. So I was going to get a manicure and a pedicure. And that proved to be the best thing that happened because 5 days later, I was in horrific pain with a pain in the back of my neck. And I went to 6 doctors, 2 hospitals that I was, you know, put into the hospital. I can't think of the word. And they literally let me pretty much die. I heard, go home and take it easy, honey. You'll be fine. In the meantime, it was a very rare form of cancer, Burkitt lymphoma, and it was strangling my spinal cord. And I blame the prison for that.
Wow. How is recovery going?
TV show for prison. Yes. I went to prison longer than all of the USC college scandal admissions combined. For maybe walking away from a vacation home in 2010.
So you think the sentence was far too harsh for what you did?
Absolutely. If even the warden read the whole case and he said to me in prison, he said, what are you doing here? Like, this is insane. If you would lived in California, you would have maybe got a letter in the mail. That's it. You know?
Was it a year you did? How
long? I did eight and a half months. Eight and a half months. I lost 125 pounds, 127 pounds, and I read 150
books. 150
books.
That's not bad. Can you remember the first night in there?
The best shape of my life.
Can you remember the first night in there? Because I always think I'm really intrigued by the whole prison system in various countries, because inevitably that's where I'm going to end up somewhere. But what what was it like, Abby? You know, you've been given this pretty harsh sentence. You know how long you're going to be in for. You know, you've come from a very nice life. You're famous. Yes. You're in a cell. Can you remember that first night?
Yes. It's not a cell. It's a big room. It's like, it's kind of like your parents dropped you off at the cheap Girl Scout camp. Oh. Like, you didn't get to go to the one with the swimming pool and the horseback riding. You went to the other one, the bad one. Mm. And it's a big giant room, and there's bunk beds and probably maybe 20 bunk beds. And a bunch of girls, when you first go in, you're in that group room. And I was not afraid. I was exhausted because I hadn't slept the two nights prior to that. So I was exhausted. And I remember falling asleep. But then guards come in through the night, like 3 a.m. I think they come midnight, 3 and 5 a.m. And they shine a flashlight in your face while you're sleeping. And they might kick the bed. They trip over something. They're screaming and yelling at each other with having a conversation together. You only need a GED. That's like the equivalent of a high school diploma here in the United States to work in the federal prison.
I suspect after a couple of weeks of doing that, you got used to it. Or do you ever get used to that kind of thing?
No, I never got used to it. You never got used to it. I always said to the girls, why don't we like lay stuff out in the middle of the floor so they trip? Like, come on, girls, it's like a slumber party. Let's do something, you know? And it was crazy. It was the guards. It was that little bit of authority. And, you know, everybody was out to get me, not the girls at all. You can love me, hate me, whatever. But the guards definitely had it in for me.
Singled you out.
Well, there was talk of me before I arrived, and that's completely inappropriate. They definitely knew I was coming.
Let me ask you this then, because you've gone through it and you have an experience of being in prison. Do you think people can be rehabilitated? Do you think they can change? You think,
I think
it can work?
People can be rehabilitated. Yeah. I think people can change, can come out better on the other side. However, the prison system isn't doing it.
Right.
They would have to do it themselves. They would have to like go to the library and get a book out on becoming a new person to do it. It wouldn't be anybody helping them. Does that make sense?
Did it change you as a person?
Yeah, I'm in a wheelchair now.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because part of your recovery is that you are in a wheelchair as a dancer. How do you deal with that?
I know. I teared up there for a minute because, it was the prison, whoever, higher ups, taking me off all of my medication, cold turkey. They took me off of thyroid medication and diabetes medication, cold turkey. And it should have been a year to wean me off of that. And that's what sent my body into a thyroid storm. So they thought that's what it was, but it was really this very rare cancer. So.
Will you get out of that wheelchair?
I do get out of it. I get out of it every day.
Great.
So I stand up and I brush my teeth and I stand up at the kitchen sink and I've been walking. I could walk about 150 steps with a walker and was doing great in my physical therapy and aquatic therapy. I waited 15 months to travel safely, you know, have all my shots, and got to Florida and was there 2 days and broke my leg in two places.
Oh my God.
So it's been a huge setback, huge. But I am coming there to Ireland.
10 years, not 15.
No, not even 10. It's been like 7 or 8, I think.
Okay. Yes. Jesus, a lot's happened in those years. What does the, you've had an incredible life. It's just incredible.
Well, thank you. It's lovely. I've had a rough few days these last few days. And for you to say that to me and the things that you've said so far in this interview have really been kind. And I appreciate that.
We're very excited to have you in Dublin. Oh my God.
Well, I understand that the whole industry is dying to come to perform. Yes.
I have to ask you a question because I host a little show over here. You might have heard of it called Dancing with the Stars. Irish version. Yeah. I know you have it in America as well. I think they copied us. I'm not quite sure. But
I think it was Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah.
Strictly Come Ballroom.
Strictly is the UK when we do Dancing with the Stars, same as you guys in America.
Well, then why aren't I going to judge that?
I'd listen. It's happening in January. You should be a judge on that. You would be you'd be unbelievable. I think the Irish celebrities would absolutely shit themselves if you were a judge.
I would love to. I just want like a steady gig where nobody brings their mother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen, I have my daughter in stage school and I'm going to do everything I can on my parent not to be one of those moms. But I have to ask you, can anyone learn to dance?
Yes. And everyone should learn. Look at TikTok.
Yeah, that's true.
Look at during the pandemic. I loved it. I mean, I don't like trained, beautiful classical dancers giving up their art form to do TikTok. However, to see the dads and the grandparents and the little babies and everybody dancing, the brothers, I loved it. I think it's fabulous that TikTok got the whole world up and dancing.
You're going to be in Dublin as part of performireland.ie, which is in the RDS, the 26th to the 28th of November. What's actually happening there?
Oh my goodness. It's so exciting. Classes, seminars, workshops, a little Abby Lee spills the tea. You know, I'm teaching acrobatics. I'm teaching lyrical. I'm going to put the kids through a real audition, what it would be like to audition for Dance Moms. What I would put the kids through. And it's exciting and it's fun. And I think there's a little bit for every level of dancer. And, you know, as far as older kids that are moving on to a career and younger ones starting out. And these kids have been cooped up for how long? And now they're going to get to dance. They're going to get to dance for me. We're going to be together and woo. I want to see everybody jumping and leaping and turning and flipping. I can't wait.
You have some amount of energy. If you know that, you're incredible. Well,
and it's after 1 a.m. over here. I'm still going strong.
Fair play to you.
The kids, I think it's just going to be great to be in with them. You know, we have to follow the COVID regulations, the masks, the social distancing and all that jazz. However, there's going to be between 6,000 and 8,000 people. I haven't checked the latest ticket sales, but 6,000 to 8,000 kids.
Incredible. Listen, it's very exciting. Have a safe trip over to Ireland. Abby Lee Miller, you've been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to get on the phone now to the producers of Dancing with the Stars and tell them they need to get you on that panel.
I would love it. It would be an honor for me. Yes.
Abby, take care and I'll talk to you soon, okay? Best of luck with everything. Thank you, love.
Bring your daughter.
I will. Bye, love. Bye. There we go. Now, I have to say, this event, it looks amazing. 2,000 performers on 2 stages in the RDS, workshops, meet and greets. If dancing is your thing, don't miss it. Tickets are available at performireland.ie.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.